All right, Chaver. Okay, so we started a new Gemara over here on the Vav Amud Beis. Not a new Gemara, it's continuing on the topics we're already discussing about the relation between Bedikas Chametz and Bito Chametz. So the Gemara said earlier that Midai Reis Bito Ba'a Masagi, if a person is Mavato Chametz, he avoids Ba'a Yiro Ba'a Yimatzev, and Midai Rabbanon, he should do Bedikas Chametz. Now we're saying, even if you did Bedikas Chametz, you still have to do Bito Chametz. Meaning, even if I removed all the Chametz from my home, well, I'm going to sell everything to the Nachri, there's still an Indian to do Bito Chametz. Why? So that's what the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, why? If it's because of Perurin, meaning maybe I searched my house high and low, I removed all of the Chametz, but there's still some crumbs here. So the Gemara says, well, crumbs are loy chashivi, crumbs don't matter. So the Gemara says, well, maybe they do matter, maybe they are not batel. Kevin demintelu huaga base, since they're housed or they're guarded by my house. Now, why does a person guard his house? Not to protect his crumbs. I don't know anyone who puts a lock on his door and sets his alarm at night in order to protect the crumbs in his home. He does it in order to protect other items of value in his home. But derech agav, right, he's guarding the crumbs in his house. So do we say when a person guards his house for the valuable items in his house, derech agav, that's also considered to be guarding the house for the crumbs, and therefore that elevates the status of the crumbs and makes them valuable? So the Gemara quotes from a Braisa with regards to Trumas and Maisrus that if a person has Te'enim, which are at the end of the season of the figs, and they're ready, you know, not the kind of figs I would normally bring into my house, and Mushabes Hadev Mevnei Hanavim, but nonetheless, I guard my house because of the grapes, which are now coming into season. I have the end of the period of the grapes, so I would normally not eat these kind of grapes, but and I'm guarding my field because of the gourds. So I'm guarding the field, but not in order to protect the grapes or the figs. So the Brisa says, if I care about these grapes or I care about the figs, then someone else takes them, it is gezel, and I am chayvim maaser. If I don't care about them, I'm mafkir them. So then someone else wants to take them, that's fine, and I'm not chayv ha-maiser, because you're not chayv ha-maiser on hefker. So the Gemara says, you see from here, that even though he's guarding his house, and he has, you know, guards around his field, if he's doing it for something else and not for this item, then that doesn't necessarily imply anything about this item, and it doesn't endow it with any chashivas. So a person who has a lock on his door, an alarm on his house, doesn't necessarily imply that his crumbs are chashuv. Maybe he's only guarding his crumbs, you know, he's only guarding the furniture and the other eye, the silver in his house, he has nothing to do about the crumbs, it doesn't imply anything about the crumbs. No different than a person who's guarding his field for the grapes, it doesn't imply anything about the te'enim that are at the end of their season. So therefore there's no problem with gezel. It can be therefore that we're concerned about the crumbs. The crumbs are b'teili v'loi chashivi. The crumbs are not important. Why are the crumbs not important? Well, they're not of value. But Rabbeinu David has over here a suffix, which is really important. You know, why the crumbs, you know, why are we brushing aside the crumbs, right? You know, why don't we care about the crumbs? So Rabbeinu David explains, because perhaps by Ba'al Yiro Ba'al Yimatzeh, in order to be chai for Ba'al Yiro Ba'al Yimatzeh, you have to have a shear of a kezias. If you don't have a shear of a kezias, there is no problem with Ba'al Yiro Ba'al Yimatzeh. That's what he wants to derive from this Gemara. He says, Hokanami Avilei Lameimar, the last Behu Shiyuro, Shein Over Ba'al Yiro Ba'al Yimatzeh, or Bekezias. Maybe there's only Ba'al Yiro Ba'al Yimatzeh if there's a kezias. So the truth of the matter is, you could have implied from our Gemara just the opposite. One could have said, if that were the case, the Gemara should have said, not the Peruin Arlo Batila, Arbatei Velo Chashivi, the Gemara should have said, because there's no Ba'al Yiro Ba'al Yimatzeh unless in a Kezias, and Peruin are less than a Kezias. Why did the Gemara say that if that's true? El Da'atifa Mina Kamar, so says Rabbeinu David, because the Gemara would want to say even better. Even if it would be a Kezias, no one cares. But of course, if it is less than a Kezias, there would be no issue of Ba'al Yiro Ba'al Yimatzeh because they're less than a kezias. So the Gemara was really saying, you know, an extra reason, or you know, a more emphatic reason than just the fact that, you know, technicality that there's no Ba'al Yiro Ba'al Yimatzeh less than a kezias. The Gemara wanted to say is b'teili v'lo chashivi, but he says over here that he concludes that there is no Ba'al Yiro Ba'al Yimatzeh less than a kezias, which is a little bit surprising. You know, why don't we say chatzi shir asim in atayra? That's a Gemara Masechtas Yuma has a machlokes in Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Where the chatzi shir is also min haTorah, chatzi shir is also min haRabbanan. Of course, chatzi shir is also, you're not allowed to eat less than a kezias of shrimp or lobster, even though it's less than a kezias, that's certainly also. The shaila is it also min haRais, it also min haRabbanan. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan, the chatzi shir is also min haTorah. So if chatzi shir is also min haTorah, why is there no chatzi shir over here by Ba'al Yiro, Ba'al Yimatzeh? So the Chacham Tzvi has a famous tshuva about the whole issue of Chatzi Shir. In other yeshivas, they spend a long time on these issues of Chatzi Shir and the Chacham Tzvi. And anyway, so the Chacham Tzvi has one little tshuva, big tshuva about the Chatzi Shir, where his basic yisod is you only say the issur of Chatzi Shir Asman HaTorah if you're dealing with Macholas Asuras, because then it's Chazi it's Darufe. I had a half a kezias of shrimp today, I'll have a half a kezias of shrimp later on, and that will be mitzarif to be a kezias, and then I'll violate the whole issur. So Chatzi Shir is Asman HaTorah because it's the building blocks of a larger issur. However, over here, you're not dealing with Isuri Achila, so one Chatzi Shir doesn't necessarily join up with another Chatzi Shir. It has to be the Shir and the item itself. So therefore, whenever you're dealing with an item which is not eating necessarily, we wouldn't say Chatzi Shir Asman HaTorah. One could have also said other reasons, there's a whole host of other reasons one could have said. One could have said, less than a Shir of a Kezias is not even food to begin with. You know, such a svar, if a person steals, pachos from a puta, a person steals less than a shavar puta. Of course, we know that there was nechtam gzardinam el ha-gezel, that the Doram Abba was punished because they were gezel pachos mishavar puta. However, stealing pachos mishavar puta is not really a formal iser of Geneva. Why not? Say, chatzi shir, asa min ha-tera. The answer is because less than a puta is not money at all. I didn't steal anything of value. So whenever you're dealing with less than a shavar puta, there's no value. I didn't steal anything from you. It's still aser to steal because stealing is an iser midas, right? There might be the difference between geneva and gzela. One of them focuses on the fact that I stole something from you. I robbed you of a certain amount of money. The other, and it's you, I created a loss. The other might be because it's an iser midas. I'm conducting myself improperly. We don't have time to get into the difference now between geneva and gzela. But it might be that that's the difference between Geneva and Gezela, is that one is, the loss that is incurred by the person who I stole from. The other, which is the Geneva is also because of the Isser Midas, because I conducted myself improperly. That's why even if I plan to return it, right, that's HaGeneva Amanas LaMekat, I steal having a mind to return, it's still an Isser of Geneva. Why? There was no loss that was caused by you, right? A guy walks away from the table in the Beis Medrash, and we steal his pen, and we steal his Gemara, and he comes back, and there's nothing left, and, he's left wondering, where is it? Standard yeshiva prank. So that's really, the truth of the matter is, that's usur. We do it in yeshiva, we have a good time with people, everyone smiles, but if someone is machbit about it, that would be an iser of HaGonev HaMnas LaMekat. But why? We didn't steal anything from him, we had every intention of giving it back. The answer is, because it's an iser of midas, it's the wrong way to conduct yourself. So that's why stealing pachos mishavar puta is a problem. But the truth of the matter is, there's no issur gzela. I didn't cause any loss to the other fellow. But it's pachos mishavar puta, chatzi shir asa min ha-tera. There's no chatzi shir asa min ha-tera when you're dealing with less than a shavar puta, because it's not money in the first place. So maybe over here, not only because of the svar of the Chacham Tzvi, that you only say chatzi shir asa min ha-tera by inyani achila, which are chazi with starufe, that could join up with another chatzi kezayis. Maybe over here is because it's just not even chametz, it's not worth of anything when it's less than kezayis. It's like a pachos mishavar puta, it's not chametz, it's not money in the first place. But 1 minute, is this really true? We're not concerned with crumbs. Like Gemara says, crumbs are peruin, b'teile v'lo chashivi, it's nothing to worry about. It's for two reasons. Number one, it's batel, it's worthless, and the other is it's pachos mi kezayis, and there's no bali ro bali matzik less than a kezayis. So is this really true? We don't have to worry about crumbs. The chedushi haritva over here on the next daf quotes from the Mordechai, quotes us as well. V'yesh migdolei hador machmir ba'atzmu v'cheshem b'yom midad l'karka ba'ish and ofen sham peruim. There were those who used to sweep the house because of the crumbs. Wow, there were those who, Rabbi say, tell your mother, there were those who used to sweep their house because of the crumbs. They would always worry about the crumbs that were on the floor. And the Ritva disagrees. I think you should sweep the crumbs every day of the year. It has nothing to do with Pesach. I'm not into crumbs, b'chlal. But vis-a-vis Pesach, the Mishum, Peruer and Lo Chashivi Ubetelu, because of the issue of crumbs, they're Bato and they're not Chashiv. And therefore, says the Ritva, you don't have to worry about the crumbs. So crumbs are b'teili v'loi chashivi, and therefore you don't have to worry about the crumbs. That's what the Ritva derives from Agamar. But is that really true? You don't have to worry about the crumbs at all? So the Taz asks, why don't you have to worry about the crumbs? Maybe someone will come along and eat the crumbs. So maybe there's a fear that, even if there's no Bali Rabbi Yamatzei, there should be a gzera, that you might come to eat it. Taisa said in the first daft, the reason you have to do bedikas chametz after bitos, because you might come across something, right, and be tempted to eat it. So maybe I'll be tempted to eat the crumbs. So the Taz and the Magen Avraham have the same distinguish between crumbs that are on the floor and crumbs that are in a book or on a table or something else. If it's on the floor, then it's b'teilu v'lo chashivi, no one's going to come to eat it either. And that's what our Gemara here is talking about. If you have crumbs in books, or crumbs on a table, or crumbs certainly on a plate, right? There's crumb cake. People take crumbs and make cakes out of it. So then certainly the crumbs might be something that's chashiv, and then you have to worry about the crumbs. That's the opinion of the Taz. And there were those, therefore, who were chayshish for crumbs in Svarim. I think crumbs on the floor includes crumbs on the bottom of your car, on the floor of your car. I don't think you have to, the kids always say, there's crumbs. So we always go nuts with the car, cleaning the car before Pesach. It's nice to do spring cleaning. I'm not opposed to it, but I don't know if that has anything to do with Pesach necessarily. It might have to be mesudar. It's always an inyan to be mesudar. It's always an inyan to be clean. Right? The Talmud Chacham was a stain on his shirt. Says something about the Talmud Chacham. But you know, or Talmud Chacham, whose car has cereal boxes and newspapers and sperm all over the place, says something about, you know, his organizational skills. But I don't know if that has anything to do with Pesach necessarily. Yeah. So I used to have a guy I drove carpool with. Now he's a rebbe in one of the Israeli yeshivas. You don't know who he is. So we used to drive carpool to yeshiva together. So he, when I lived in Queens, he lived in, I don't want to tell you, but anyway, we used to drive together. So he used to always have like four boxes of cereal on the seat next to him, and he would eat breakfast on the way to yeshiva. But just, and the boxes of cereal stayed there till they emptied, and then we had new boxes of cereal. And I was like, yeah, anyway, he's a tzaddik of a guy. So you can be a big tzaddik and still have crumbs all over your thing. But I don't think crumbs on the floor of the car mean anything. That's like on the ground. It's b'teilu v'lo chashivi. When is it a problem? Maybe in the svarim, maybe on the table or something like that. So that's why in the Sefer Ma'aser Rav, the Vilna Gaon, it says that the Vilna Gaon used to check his svarim prior to Pesach, because maybe the crumbs in the svarim are not what our Gemara is talking about. Our Gemara is talking about crumbs on the floor. And that's why the Ritva rejected the G'dayle Hadar, who swept their house because of crumbs on the floor. Crumbs on the floor, underneath the couch cushions, no one's eating that. That's B'teilu B'lo Chashivi, you don't have to worry about that. If you want to clean it under the couch cushions and find the loose change, you know, Gegezent, I don't want to prevent anyone from doing their spring cleaning. But again, it has nothing to do with Frumkeit. But if it's in the Sfarim, so that's where there's perhaps an inyan to check the Sfarim. The Chazon Ish also used to check his Sfarim prior to Pesach because of the crumbs in the Sfarim. Maybe a person will be reading a Sefer, find a crumb, and be tempted to eat it. It's not B'teilu B'lo Chashivi. I think for a few reasons we don't necessarily have to worry about that. Number one, most of us are not eating over our Sfarim anymore. Halavai, right? We should be able to use all of our. The Chazon Ish checked all of his Sfarim. I mean, halavai, we should have. And you know, have to check all of our svarim and use them that often and live in our svarim and, you know, be eating over the svarim. But other than that, I don't think many of us would find a crumb in a sefer and be tempted, you know, appetized by that and be tempted to eat it. And I'm not saying the Chazon Ish was. I'm just saying I don't think that the reason necessarily applies. Okay, so the Gemara says it can't be because of the crumbs. So if a person did bidika, why does he have to do bito? So the Gemara says, no, he has to do bito not because of the crumbs. The crumbs are b'teilu b'lo chashivi is because maybe he'll find a nice but he'll be tempted, his mind will be upon it. What does it mean, his mind will be upon it? Meaning maybe he'll do bedika, he'll rid his house of everything. How did this get through the net? I don't know. Good question. The Rishonim discussed that. How did, you know, if he checked this house so well, how do you find a cupcake and a box of Cheerios that he didn't find? But all right. He found, you know, we know life is life, and he found something made it through. Okay, so, and if he finds it over Pesach, his mind will be upon it. And therefore, he should do bito chametz to just, you know, account for all of the possibilities. Maybe something made it through his checking process. So Rashi says, v'day teiluye, chashuva hi be'enav, v'chasa leila sarfa. He's gonna hesitate. And therefore, he's not going to burn it right away. So that's why you have to do bito chametz too. Not enough with just bedika; you have to do bito too, lest the person find the piece of chametz and, you know, leave it around and wavering about it. Then he might violate by rabbi matzah in the interim. So that's why we have to do bito chametz before Pesach ever starts, just to account for that one item that perhaps made it through my checking, however rigorous it might have been. Tosis in Vedaita Luya disagrees with Rashi. Says v'loy bato me elov kamo peirurin, meaning it's not something that's going to be bato by peirurin achashiv v'loy b'tegli. Over here, there's not bato me elov, so I have to go out of my way to state it that it should be bato. So why wait till you find it? Why not just do it now? He doesn't like Rashi. The Rashi says when I find it, I might not burn it right away. He thinks then, if I'm not committed, so then even when I the Gemara asks, v'chimishkakas le'ilovatle, so the Gemara says, well, why? When you find it, you'll be mavato. Why do I have to be mavato in advance? So how does that solve the problem, according to Rashi? If according to Rashi, the problem is because I might be wavering on my commitment to, you know, to do Bito Chomet, so how could the Gemara ask, for Shemishkakos Levatle, you know, how does that solve the problem? The Gemara says, ah, what if you do Bito Chomet before Pesach? Do it whenever you find it. So the Gemara doesn't answer, you know, Rashi's, what Rashi should have said, which is, well, maybe he's not that committed. Maybe he's wavering. Maybe he's hesitating. The Gemara says something else. So therefore, Tosfos doesn't like Rashi. Tosfos says, nah, because it's not Baltimei Eilov, and we want to account for all possibilities. Vedaiti Luye just means it's not Baltimei Eilov, so you have to explain it. You have to state it explicitly. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, you know, then just be mavato when you find it. Why do we have to institute this? For every Jew, most Jews are probably not going to find chametz over Pesach. No, I don't know if that's ever happened to us. We found chametz, a whole gluska yafim. No, I don't think so. So to find bli anara. So your person's going to find chametz over Pesach? So let him be mavato. Got that person who's made it through, who has this situation. Let him be mavato when he finds it. Why do we have to institute this for all of Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara says no, because maybe he'll find it after the Iser Chametz has already set in. It's no longer in his Rishus to be Mavato. He can be Mavato. The Amar Rebbe Lazar, one of the most famous statements in all of Shas. Shnei Dvar Meinu B'Shushu Shaladim. There are two things that you do not own. Vasar Nakasav Kiuhen B'Shusa. The Torah throws it back into your lap. What are they? Eluhein bar b'shus harabim. Let's say a person digs a pit in the middle of Amsterdam Avenue. I dig. I take a pothole cover off the thing. Or I literally take out a shovel and start digging. So, and then someone's driving through and his car falls in. And he gets hurt. Chas v'shalom lo aleinu. Let's say such a thing happens. So, am I chayv as a masik? Yes. Why? But I don't own the bar. It's not mine. It wasn't my animal that went and damaged you. It wasn't my car that went and damaged you. It wasn't my fire. It wasn't my, you know, all the arba avos nizikin. This, I don't own this. This is not mamon amazik. Niske mamon. Where my property causes damage that I'm obligated to pay for the damage that it caused. I don't own this. It's not mine. A bor b'shus harabim is hefker. So why do I have to pay for the damages that's caused by the pit, by the pothole, by the manhole cover that's removed in the middle of Amsterdam Avenue? I don't own that. It's not niske mamon. No, the answer is the Torah throws it into your lap. The Torah makes you responsible for it, even though, you're right, it really is hefker. So the Torah makes it yours, even though it's not yours. What's another example of a davar that's not b'shushu shalom v'asana kasev kilim b'shushu? It's chametz mishe shalos ulamayla. Chametz really doesn't belong to you either, because once chametz becomes isuri hana, it doesn't belong to you. So once the isur hana of chametz sets in, it's not mine. So it should always be a catch 22. It should always be a paradox. You should never be able to violate bayirah bayimatzei. What's the isur bayirah bayimatzei? Don't own chametz on Pesach. Well, guess what? The minute Pesach comes, the chametz is also b'hana. A person doesn't own isuri hana, so there's no isur bayirah bayimatzei. Every single time, there should be no isur bayirah bayimatzei, because every single time the chametz is presented to me on Pesach that I own it, I don't own it, because it becomes also b'hana. I'm a male, I don't own it. So therefore, it must be when the Torah said, "Bayirah bayimatzei," the Torah is taking the chametz, which normally doesn't belong to you, because it is isurei hana, v'asana kasev kiuhen v'shusa. So therefore, if I end up finding this chametz on Pesach, you can't be mavato it on Pesach. Bito only works before Pesach, when I own it. Once chametz comes, once the isur chametz sets in, I really don't own it anymore. The Torah makes me responsible for it, like the bar b'shus harabim. And I have to burn it, literally to destroy it, but I can't be mavato it, which is like a kind of a hefker or some, you know, mental destruction, because I don't own it anymore. So I can't, the Torah makes me responsible for it, but I don't own it to destroy it or to transfer ownership of it. So you can't sell your chametz on Pesach to avoid by Rabbi Matzah, because you don't really own it anymore. Ah, if I don't own it, why is it my problem by Rabbi Matzah? That's one of the paradoxes over here, that even though you don't own it, I saw an akosav kiilu heim b'shusa, and that's why you have to do bito chametz prior to Pesach to account for the eventuality or possibility you might find a piece of chametz, because if you find it over Pesach, you're not going to have any takana at that point to be mavato. So the Gemara here assumes that isuri hana don't belong to you. Isuri hana don't belong to you. The Gemara uses a lashon of it's not b'shusoi. We already saw the Gemara Mesechtes, where was it? The Gemara Mesechtes Vachem, the Gemara Mesechtes Kiddushin. It's a few places in Shas that when someone, there's two parts to ownership. There's Shaloi and Bershusai. If a ganav steals something from an owner, the Gemara says, Shnei meni mechom l'akdishoi, both, neither one of them can be makdishit. Zeh sheinu Shaloi, the ganav, because it doesn't belong to him, right, in theory. Zeh sheinu Bershusai, and this one, because it's not in his possession. The owner of it can't be makdishit to Beis HaMikdash either, because it's not in his possession. So in order for a person, let's say, to exert his ownership over something, he really has to have both components, both parts to the ownership equation, and that is shaloi, it has to belong to you, and birshusoi, possession. Yeah, possession is 9/10 of the law too. So zeshena shalov, zeshena pesusha the ganav. If you have a ganav who steals something, the owner hasn't given up hope yet of getting it back, so that it's still shaloi, still belongs to him. Neither one of them can be maxed. Zeshena shalov, zeshena pesusha. So what is isurei hana? Isurei hana are not shaloi. Isurei hana are not pesusai. Isurei hana is not either one. Certainly don't have full ownership of it. But is it not shaloi? Is it not pesusai? So look at Rashi over here. Rashi says the la pesusai who. Eino shaloi, it doesn't belong to him because it's isurei hana. So Rashi assumes isurei hana are not shaloi. However, if you look in the Ritva and Masechta Sukkah, the Ritva seems to say something else. The Ritva is commenting on the Gemara there that an esrog shorla is possible. So one opinion in the Gemara is that an esrog shorla is possible. She'ein bo heter achila. You're not allowed to eat it. In order for the esrog to be a kosher esrog, it has to be mutar b'achila. This esrog is also b'achila. Okay. The other one says because it's not worth any money. It's worth zero. Because it's Yisurei Hana, Arla, the fruits that grow on a tree in the first 3 years of its life, are prohibited in Hana. Normally, you don't have fruits in the first 3 years of the life of the tree because it's so young, it doesn't produce fruits. But we discussed a few years last year that if you graft on a branch from the same kind of a tree, it's not an easier of grafting. But if I take a branch from one tree and I put it onto a new tree, you might start the years over for Arlo all over again. So anyway, let's say a person has fruit on the first 3 years of the tree's life. And, so that's usher. It's prohibited. The fourth year is considered netter rivai, and the fifth year is finally permitted to eat. Netter rivai is like maizu sheni. You have to eat it in Yerushalayim. That doesn't apply in chutzlaritz. Arla applies even in chutzlaritz. Halacha l'moshe misinai. So the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat the fruits of the tree, and it has to be burned. Okay, so Gemara says that esrog of arla is no good. Number one, because you can't eat it. Number two, because it's not worth any money. So says the Ritva, they have a nakit harayvin dvarim kipashton the kaven the lesbu heter achil of a din mama lesbu who heter achil of a din maman habale isuri hana. It's because it's isuri hana. Lo karina belochem. It's not called yours. And the pasuk says with regards to the lulav kachtem lochem beyom harishon, the lulav has to belong to you. All the dalaminim have to belong to you. And this doesn't belong to you. If a person will steal it from you, he won't be a gazan because it doesn't belong to you. And the Ritva disagrees, and he says, what are you talking about? If that's the case, that Ein Bo Din Mamon means it doesn't belong to you, because Yisuri Hanah should only be possible the first day of Sukkot. The first day of Sukkot is when you need Lokachim Lochem B'Yom Arishon. You should take on the first day the Dalaminim, that's when you need Lachem. The rest of the Yontif, you can use a borrowed Dalaminim. So over here, there should only be possible on the first day of Yontif. Here the Tana says that it's always no good on Esrog Shor. Anything that belongs to you is called yours, and if someone else steals it, it'll have to pay. So the Ritva says not for another reason. But what do you see? The Ravid seems to imply that anything that's Yisurei Hana doesn't belong to you. It's not Lachem. And the Ritva disagrees with him about that. He said, nah, Yisurei Hana might be Sheino B'Shusai, might be for some other reason, some other Chisaron, but it's not because it's not Shaloi. So the Ravid here says, the Ritva disagrees, right? It's not Shaloi. It's probably more something along the lines of like Eino B'Shusai. The Ravid believes that anything that's us about now is not Shaloi. So the Ravid seems to be along the same lines of Rashi over here, right? The Yisurei Hana are not Shaloi. Doesn't belong to you at all. And that's why the Ravid says a person steals an Esrog of Arla, you don't have to pay him back. You don't have to pay him anything. You don't owe him anything. It didn't belong to him. Yisurei Hana doesn't belong to you. It's not Lochem. And the Ritva disagreed. The Ritva said, what are you talking about? It's not Lochem. Of course it belongs to you. It's some other reason. Maybe it's not Shabir Bershusoy. Maybe I have to burn it. So therefore the Arla, has no shear because it's considered as if it's already consumed by the fire. But whatever it is, Yisurei Hana belonged to you. Yisurei Hana belonged to you. So the Ravid, the Ritva seems to disagree with that Ravid. The Marcheshes was Rabbi Agus, who was one of the Maspidim, actually, he was on the Beis Din of Chaim Moser in Vilna, the Marcheshes, the Yeshivish Sefer. I think he was killed by the Nazis in the Second World War. But it's a Yeshivish Sefer on different topics in learning. So Marcheshes in Simen Aleph has a whole simen about this topic. Are Yisurei Hana not Shaloi or Yisurei Hana not Bershusai? And he concludes over there that it's dependent on this machlokas rishonim 2 days in the Ritva. Is it according to the Rav? It is not shaloi, and that's how Rashi seems to say over here. Or, and according to the Ritva, it seems to be that it's not birshu. So the Tzitzis HaChayshin discusses this at length too. Is the Isuri Hanon not shaloi? Is the Isuri Hanon not birshu? So what difference does it make? You don't own it. It's not yours fully. No, there might be a difference. There might be a difference. What if a person steals Isuri Hanon? Does he have to pay back? Huh? Says an afkamina, perhaps, or Beshefler likes to say, there's an afkamina vis-a-vis the tsaro that's raised by the Chayk Yaakov. The Chayk Yaakov over here, commentary on Hilchos Pesach, raises the issue of, let's say you have a non-religious fellow who owns chametz over Pesach that he didn't sell. And then he passes away, passes away in the middle of Pesach, and his children are religious. So they yarsh in the chametz. So what happens to the chametz? Does the chametz belong to them? Does it not belong to them? Is it their problem over Pesach? So is it shaloi? Is this something that goes to be Yerusha? Does the guy own it? Or no, it's not shaloi at all, because chametz over Pesach is Yisuri Hanan, Yisuri Hanan, not shaloi. So it says the Chayk Yaakov, it's Archim, but Mishal Abadah chametz kailim zman Yisuru meis, and he dies. Iyo, Yarshim muta livdok levar, did Yarshim have to get rid of it? Or name it Yisuru lebrei loy moiris. Do you say now the Yisuri Hanan doesn't go be Yerusha to the son? Do Yisuri Hanan go be Yerusha or not? So perhaps this issue hinges upon how we view Yisuri Hanah. If Yisuri Hanah are not shaloi, so then I don't think it could go be Yerusha. You don't own it, like the Ravid says. If you steal it, there's no gneva. But maybe Yisuri Hanah they are shaloi. It's just not birshusoi. You have no real access to it, right? It's not in my possession. What are you talking about? It's not in my possession. It's sitting on my table, but I can't use it. I have no shemush with it. So it's like Hilu, it's in a bubble. It's like, it's removed from me. So even though I have physical possession of it, I don't have usage of it. So since I don't have usage of it, maybe that's considered to be Eino Birshusoi. But it is Shaloi. And therefore, perhaps it would go be Yerusha and would be upon the children to burn the chametz that they yarshin from their father over Pesach. Either way, they're not going to be able to use the chametz. It's going to be chametz over Pesach, so not that much of an afkamina. Shaila is, do they have to go out of their way to burn it over Pesach? According to one opinion, if it is shaloi, they yarshin and they would have to burn over Pesach. If it's not shaloi, at all, then they don't yarshin it, and they wouldn't have to worry about it over Pesach. Perhaps these 2 days in the Rishonim are really the source of the suffix of the Chayk Yaakov. Anyway, the Gemara says that therefore a person can't do bito chametz once the time of the Isur chametz arrives. So you have to do it before Pesach. So the Gemara says, okay, but why do I have to do it at the time of the bedika? Let me do it at the fourth hour, the fifth hour. V'nivatle ba'arba, v'nivatle b'chomesh. So the Gemara says, no, kevan the lav zman isuruhu, the lav zman birhu, dilma pashvu mavatava. You can't make the time to do bito chametz at a random hour on the morning of Erev Pesach. No one's going to remember to do it. So we decided to do it together with the bito chametz, the night of the 14th. That's when we do it, that's when we make the bracha, bito chametz, that's when we make a bito chametz. We go back and we do it again, right before we're about to burn the chametz. But with Meikra, then they were misakin to do it together with Bdikas Chametz, because otherwise a person will forget about it. Says the Gemara, why do it then? Why not do it when we're going to burn the Chametz? Okay, so the Gemara has an answer to that, and then discusses Kiddushin with Yisuri Hanah. We're going to have to get to that too. Okay, Rabbi says we have to leave that out. See the Kovet Shiurim over here, very important Tahara on this Rashi over here in Adav, Adav Zayin Mar Aleph. Mitzvah for next time. All right, let's see.